Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, that was a rather long song, but it's well worth the listen because wait till I introduce you to my guest tonight who created that wonderful song. This is Off the Chain. I am your host, Yvonne Mason. That was Hall of Mirrors by the band Cypher. And they have been on before. They are on again tonight. So real quick, I just want to tell you guys that thanks to all of y'all, we're at 61,395 listeners just on this show. We are on the downside of 80,000 listeners internationally. So because of all y'all and because of people like my guests, like my band Cypher, we're growing by leaps and bounds, and I couldn't be prouder because it's all about y'all. It's all about the listeners, and it's all about my guests, and I am so honored and so proud. And with that in mind, like I said earlier, my guest tonight is the band Cypher. And they, if you haven't listened to this show before, they've been on a couple of times. And every time they get a new album, they call me up and they say, "Hey, Yvonne, find us a slot. We want to come back on. We got a new release." So being who they are and being because they're one of my favorite bands and I absolutely adore them and they understand my wicked sense of humor, I always find a spot for them because these guys are magnificent. They're an industrial electro artist from London, Ontario, and they consist of Lewis Cypher, who does vocals and electronics, and Jason Norwood, who does the synthesizers, percussion, and also the vocals. Cypher was formed in 2015 out of a desire to explore varied musical influences. The experimentation of early industrial bands like Cabaret Voltaire and Skinny Puppy combined with a more modern electronic sound define the unique vision and sound of Cypher. And let me tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, these young men are magnificent. Prior to Cypher, Lewis was a well-known industrial DJ in North America. Norwood, he set aside from running his own label, Hope Mansion Recordings, he'd been recording various forms of electronic and alternative music for about 25 years. The pair originally met around the turn of the century. No, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking about the 19th century. I'm talking about the 20th century, which was 17 years ago, while Lewis was a DJ in London. Cypher's first album, Overthought, was recorded as a concept record with a heavy anti-suicide message and released in early fall of 2015. And if you have not heard that album, you should. That was the very first one we talked about, and the messages on that album are better than any advertising that you can put on a billboard. 2016 saw the band release their follow-up, Subversion, while on tour in Eastern Canada. The second album blends the experimental sound of Overthought while adding a more danceable touch. Both albums were released through Hope Mansion Recordings. Now, what these wonderful men have done is they have released yet a third album. And Hall of Mirrors is on that album. So without further ado, because I want to talk about Hall of Mirrors, welcome, guys. Welcome, Jason. Welcome, Michael. I am so glad y'all are back with me again.
It's always good to talk to you, Yvonne.
Literally, well, we do all sorts of radio shows, Yvonne, and we love doing, like, we did a show with Pace last night, and it was an amazing show, and it's more geared towards cannabis, and we do music radio shows and all these. And every time we come on your show, it's so cool because it's a show that you know, it's about everything, and that makes us happy, and people talking, and that's just fucking awesome. So,
and that is true because we don't just talk about your music. We talk about the message that you wanted to get across in that anti-suicide album. And like I said before, at the beginning of the show, that resonates better than any billboard that anyone could pay to put up, or any hotline or anything like that, because it speaks to the heart of the matter.
We've had some really cool experiences off that record. I did, because of that record, I was invited to speak about my personal experiences with suicide, and that day is one I will never forget. I had a guy walk over to me, and he had arms the size of my head, covered in tattoos, and he just picked me up in the biggest bear hug and said thanks. And to have someone do that, And to be able to share that with someone like Jay, right? Because even though that particular day Jay had something to do and we couldn't do music, he's still always there because without Jay there is no Cypher, right? So
exactly.
To be able to share that with someone who I've been friends with for so many years, it gives you a reason to keep going. So
well,
and the fact
that when you put that album together, you yourself were struggling, and it comes through in that music, and people that are struggling can listen to it and say, oh, he gets me.
I've had some really weird, more so with the new album, which we'll talk about a little later, but with that record, I've had some really cool experiences. One that I think I've shared with you before, and Jay, I think you'll remember this one. We played a show in a city called St. Stephen in New Brunswick, and it was our first show on that tour when we released Subversion, and we were playing on a on a messed up set list that had a lot of uncomfortable moments in it. And at the end of the show, we went outside, and there was this lady crying, and she just ran over and hugged us both and said, thank you.
Wow.
And to have someone rethink their life and to make that kind of an emotional connection with people from a stage, even though what we're doing now is important, there are times that I think back to that tour and promoting that record and wish we could go back. I mean, we've talked extensively about revisiting The Man in the Room and revisiting that storyline, because we never did really decide what happened.
Exactly.
And
ladies and gentlemen, if you did not listen to the first show, The Man in the Room was on that first album. And the night, the first time I interviewed these guys, we talked about The Man in the Room, and Jay and Michael and I, after I played the song, I gave them my take on it, and it was exactly what the take was, and that is, who is the man in the room? Is the man in the room our inner self struggling with ourselves? Is it an outside force that's trying to keep us grounded? And it's like Michael said, who is the man in the room? We don't know yet.
He appears kind of, Jay, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think he appears peripherally on every record in his own way.
With the first half of Overthought starts off with that character being angry at a lot of what he's seeing in his environment, and it descends into a much more abstract part after about halfway through the album. He just starts going right into that loop, and I think that that particular album has a very anti-suicide message, but there's also that element of I'm watching everything go to hell around me, and I can't stand it anymore. Where it starts off, so you can almost plug that into where we evolved more into a political arena. That part of the album kind of ties into it.
I think it's important today because I actually burst into tears the other day. I was reading Facebook because I'm stupid and do that. And
we all do that.
The dumbest thing you'll ever read, but there was a message on there from a friend of mine, and I won't use their name because I'm sure that it was blocked away to a certain group of us, that they had called a suicide hotline and had gotten an answering, kind of a robotic answering message, and hung up and didn't know what to do. So, of course, all of us were calling this person, so their phone exploded. But at the same time, if someone can pick up our record, listen to it and go, hey, I get this. And even though I perform under the name Lewis Cypher, I mean, I'm very open that my real name's Michael and my last name's Lee, and you can find me on Facebook. It's easy. I will never stop someone from sending me a message on Facebook and saying, hey, I'm thinking about hurting myself. Because this isn't just something that we recorded. This is something that both of us sincerely believe in. So,
and that's
you know,
what
it's
makes
been...
that That's what makes that album so heartfelt and so, I don't want to say in your face, but it is. It's in your face because not only do y'all believe in it, but you have your own personal stories as well. And to have come through the end of that tunnel into the light, you can resonate with others and say, look, I've been in that place. There is a 24-hour tomorrow. There is always hope.
I think that it was really weird for us just kind of transitioning forward and not meaning to cut off the discussion about suicide because, I mean, I can talk on that all day long. Moving on to the next record, it was kind of like coming out of this darkness that I was stuck in because the first show we ever did, the very first show we ever did was at a place called APK. I can see Jay groaning already. We had been in the same room during the recording of Overthought once. So we were only ever in the same space once, and that was when we recorded, what the hell is the name of that song, Jay? The one you sang on that album.
The Loathing Rope.
The Loathing Rope.
Another one of my favorites.
But it was when we did that album, we had never been in the same room, and I called Jay and I said, hey, I'm promoting this charity show to for an animal rescue. We should play live. I'm going to put live bands on it. We're going to play live. And Jay's like, shouldn't we rehearse or something? And I'm like, fuck it, let's just do it. And it was really weird because at the time, I'm obsessed with cover songs. It drives Jay nuts sometimes. I love taking songs that aren't industrial or aren't electronic and making them sound that way. And there were two that I wanted to do, and one was terrible and will never see the light of day, and that was I wanted to do a cover of the Dixie Chicks' Goodbye Earl.
It didn't work. Trust me, it didn't work.
It was horrid, but I love that song. It's one of my favorite songs ever, so I wanted to do a cover of it. It didn't work. We scrapped it. And the only song we were able to play that night, because our computer system literally shit the bed, like just completely crapped out, was a song by a band called The Tragically Hip. And the song was called The 100th Meridian. It's a great, great little number. But I'm kind of digressing here. But 2 days ago, Gord Downie, who was the lead singer of The Tragically Hip, died from cancer. And the day he died, I had surgery on my mouth a couple of days ago. I had to have some teeth yanked. And Gord Downie passed away. And, of course, I was sitting at home alone. The girlfriend was at work. And I was thinking about it. And they kept introducing him as a Canadian poet and all this. And I'm going, wow. You know, to think that music can make an entire nation stop dead in their tracks and say that you passed away, that's a pretty powerful communicating tool.
Absolutely.
And then to think about what we did with Overthought at the same time, because, of course, I even said to Jay, hey, we should revisit that Tragically Hip cover, but it's a terrible idea because it was a horrible cover. But, you know, we talked about a different song, which we may do someday. But that particular song, and to bring yourself me back to that, put me in kind of a dark place because one of the first things we thought after that show was maybe this won't work. And it's because of yourself and people like you and all your listeners. I think one of the moments that we realized we needed to go and write Subversion was you had put out, we had been on your show, we had promoted Overthought. And then you told me one day, just out of nowhere, you said, wow, you guys are one of the highest number of listeners have listened to the show. You guys did.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, people actually gave a shit? Oh, well, maybe we should do should do another record.
And you still are. You still are, after all this time.
To tie that into your show, I mean, to all the people listening, wherever you are, if you listen to that first show, we're sorry.
It was a wonderful show.
Well, it was a great show. You were on it. But more importantly,
Lord.
More importantly, you inspired us to make the second record. So
that was
a big, big part of it because when you do what we do and you'll hear us joke around and make the comment that thing we do because that's what people used to call it. They didn't call it a band. They didn't call it music. They used to say, well, we can't use your band. We can't use that thing you do. And we
but
were like, which thing we do?
But that thing you do is what makes you guys unique, and it makes you stand out ahead of the herd and not part of the herd.
Well, we like to think so. We do things exactly the wrong way most of the time. And somehow, through some stroke of genius, and maybe it's just knowing the right people, maybe it's the fact that people have never seen anything like what we do, it goes over well. And we were told, you brought up the Eastern Canadian Tour, and we were told, you're an industrial band. Never play the eastern part of Canada. You'll lose money. Okay, the first year we did. Last year we went on tour of the East again. We broke even. And I've already started looking into next year, and we've decided, hey, we're going to tour a different part of the country, but let's do a festival in the East. And we're getting offered ridiculous amounts of money to play a festival. And I'm going, huh? What just happened? Where did this come from? Because
it's called
the heart
good
of it all,
karma, Michael. It's good karma because y'all are good people.
I always thought my karma ran over my dogma. But I'm horrible. I'm sorry, guys. I'm stuck in a hotel room pacing back and forth.
It.
So
but,
I didn't.
But
we're actually in different cities right now. So
yeah.
Well, yeah, I was kind of worried about Michael because he said that you were going to be in a different city, and it was going cost him his firstborn and part of his leg to call in. And I'm thinking, how can I get this kid to call in? Because I need Michael on the phone, too. So thank
well,
you, Michael.
That was Jay, actually. That was Jay. And
oh, it was Jay. Oh, yeah, it was Jay.
Yeah.
See, brain fart
what
there.
Happened is I'm sitting here, and of course, we're old. And everybody thinks, oh, they're an electronic band. They must be young kids. No, we're old fucks. And pardon my language again. If you have children in the room, I'm really sorry for the next 2 hours of their lives. They're going to hear some shit they've never heard before. Or maybe they have, because my kids are.
Daddy, what were, the, what were the what were the what did the words the nice man said mean?
Some parents, I just have this visual of some kid under a blanket listening to the show, and his mom comes in and goes, what the fuck are you listening to? You know?
Cipher. Well, but the listening audience by now should know that that's why we call it Off the Chain, because anything could happen, and most times probably does. So
I do have to correct you on something, though, Yvonne, and I feel bad because I've let it go this long.
What's that?
You brought up that we created Hall of Mirrors. As much as we would love to be able to do this, to say that, we did not write that song.
You did not.
That's actually a cover version.
That's a cover of an old Kraftwerk song. And we were driving down the road, and Jay had put it on a tour disc for that very first Eastern Canadian tour. And when I heard it, I looked at Jay and said, we're doing this song. And we played it live a couple of times. And the first time we ever played it live was in Toronto at Nocturne. And a guy named Ryan Clark was there. And if you've never had a chance to have Ryan Clark on your show, that's something you should probably correct.
Absolutely.
He's phenomenal. He's phenomenal. He's a wonderful DJ and a record label owner. And but Ryan heard that song, and he signed our band the next day to his record label because Hope Mansion had fired us because the owner's a dick.
Why the world would Hope Mansion do that to y'all?
Well, because Jay owns the label, and we outgrew the label.
It's our little joke to ourselves that Hope Mansion Recordings got rid of Cypher. It's like,
yeah, no, we outgrew the label. I helped Jay with the label a little bit, and we couldn't keep up with just the Cypher project, never mind anybody else on the label. So the other people on the label are suffering because I'm keeping Jay so damn busy with Cypher.
That
we moved on and we signed with Electric Bat Record, and Ryan signed us on the contingency that we record Hall of Mirrors. And we put the money out to buy the rights to the song, and I think as a song, I don't think they write them much better than that one.
Magnificent song. I love it, and it's too bad y'all didn't write it because it sounds just like something you would write. That's like the two of y'all.
That's why we love it so much.
Well, the funny thing is it's also not your typical, like, it's not your typical Kraftwerk song. It wasn't one of their hits, so to speak. So,
right.
It's on the album Trans Europe Express. And I tend to listen to albums as a whole, so, you know, I knew about it, but I kind of had it out of my mind. I was listening to the whole album through, and I heard it, and I'm like, oh, Mike's got to hear this one. This is cool.
It sounds like something Cypher would write.
It very much is, and it's really neat because this new record was a big change for us. We went from, heavy mental health messages and anti-technology messages and just kind of fringe stuff to dive headfirst into mainstream politics and fire both guns blazing at some people that we don't like so much.
Well, and speaking of that, let's play Empire of Hate.
I love this song.
And then we'll talk about it.
It's the next single, so you'll be the first one to play it.
This one's about an emotion the fascists stole from the people. We're stealing it back. You say that thinking for yourself is a crime, then I say let's build a criminal empire. Fear will not rule us. Fear
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was Empire Hate by my guest tonight, the Canadian band Cypher. Now, I know that this third album went a little bit political and all of the political BS that's been going around for a while. To me, and I could be wrong, but to me, the song represents the divisiveness and the let's see how much we can destroy instead of building up. Is that pretty much on tap?
Kind of. And I'm sure that Jay and I each have different perspectives on this song as we do on every song we write, which I think is so fucking cool. but to me, one of the things, like, I really strongly hate two things in the world, seafood and fascists. The two of them together, you get me a fascist with a piece of seafood and I'm going to puke. But one of the things that I really bothers me right now is that people have taken the word fascism and they've turned it into the word nationalism. And you have all these people that are preaching hate. And what they're really preaching is fear.
True.
And you can't take such a great word as hate. And I mean, I was guilty when I was younger of thinking, oh, that's a bad word, and teaching my kids, don't use the word hate. And I'm thinking to myself, the only reason hate's a bad word is because, and this is where the lyric, you know, this is a song about an emotion the fascists stole from the people. Hate is it's a necessary emotion. It's part of the human spectrum of emotions. And it's become synonymous with racism, and I don't think that's right. So to me, that song's literally saying, okay, you want to hate things? I've been hating things a lot longer than you have. And if you want to be directly in that crosshair, that's no problem with me. I'll happily put you there, and we can go. And it doesn't bother me because there are that particular song, interestingly enough, is actually the next single off the record. You're the first person to play it live. I love that.
Really?
On the air.
Yeah.
Wow. You're the first one to play that on the air. Most people want to play Punch and Nazi. You played Empire of Hate. I love it. But yeah, it's we also played Punch and Nazi first on your show, interestingly enough. But that song to me is literally throwing down a gauntlet and saying, okay, I'm going to lay it all out on this record. I'm going to lay everything I got on this record, and you know, you can respond however you want. And people have, they've responded negatively. They've responded positively, but people are at least talking.
And,
so if that song gets people talking,
so be it.
We did it right.
Exactly.
We did it
because
right.
Without a dialogue, you have nothingness. We have to have that and we may not agree when we have an open dialogue, but at least we're having a dialogue.
I think that the other day I posted something online that said, I'm not always a good person, I'm not always a bad person, but the measuring stick isn't what you can put in your little Facebook or Twitter posts. It's what I see in the mirror at the end of the day. I have to be the best me I can be. And you know, exactly. And if people don't want to talk about those things, then, and if your answer to everything is, you're a racist, oh, you're a member of Antifa, you're this, you're that. Once you start putting labels on people, you create that era where we start telling our children, don't use that word, it's a bad word. It's just a friggin' word.
And guys, would it also be right to say that when we start putting labels on people, that we strip that person of the essence of who they are?
Exactly.
I think so. I think that's fair. I think that. So I'm curious, Jay, what does that song mean to you, man?
Empire of Hate?
Yeah, other than just a really cool song we had fun writing.
I think we wrote that one in one day.
I think we wrote it in an hour.
Yeah. I think it certainly speaks to divisiveness. I think there's a bit of a warning there. When I hear Empire of Hate, you cannot sedate. It's kind of like, it's kind of like saying, if we do nothing, you're not going to be able to stop this. So I have that take on it as well. I mean, I certainly agree with Mike's take on it, but I can also see where it does speak to that divisiveness is going on in U.S. politics right now.
And we implode from within.
Oh, it's
well,
really
that's
scary
just it,
to watch.
Because, yeah, and when you start talking about labeling people, if you take a sports ball team, they have a name, right? That means more to people watching it than any of the individual players, right? When you label that, you know, when you start using labels like alt-right, Antifa, all that kind of stuff, what you're literally doing is setting up the teams.
Yep.
To play a game. And, you know, Empire of Hate to me is warning of that game that's being played, where, you know.
Wow, you know, people say that I'm the one that makes deep political shit. Jay, that was fucking awesome, dude. I'm going to use that.
Well,
holy shit, I got to write a song about that.
Since we're on this, let's just go ahead and play the last song that I have for us, which I could not agree with more, because they are. And ladies and gentlemen, this is called Media Whore, also by these wonderful guys. I'm telling you, these guys tell a story in every song if you just listen. And it's like reading a book. You got to listen with an open mind. So hold on, I'm going to play it.
It's long been understood that unless people are controlled, they're going to challenge power. The media are extraordinarily subordinated to external power. That's what power means. It's long been understood that unless people are controlled, they're going to challenge power. Extraordinarily subordinated to external power. That's what power means. It's long been understood that unless people are controlled, they're going to challenge power. Long been understood. power. That's what power means. Challenge power, 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 challenge power.
The first time I heard that song, I said, I have to play that on the show because it is so true.
It's probably, I'm going to go out on a limb, and one of the neat things about this record for me is the fact that I listen to it as a fan. I don't listen to it as the artist that recorded it. I listen to it as a fan. I love this record. That's my favorite song on the entire album. It's also my least favorite because I don't like performing it live sometimes because it hurts. because I have this kind of this bent over stance that I do, and it hurts the hell out of my back.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that about that song that I love so much is there's this dark growl in it. And when we first recorded, everybody said, how'd you do that with your voice? And I looked at him and went, I didn't. That was Jay. And I remember the first time I played that for my girlfriend, she was just like, wow, why doesn't he do that more often? And I'm like, I don't know, but he's going to.
And that's the burning question, Jay. Why don't you do that more often?
He does. I've heard some of the new stuff he's recording. It's awesome.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
I'm excited by it.
I'm working on a solo project at the moment. So. I think it was just a natural development because when we originally started Overthought, it was essentially me putting the original intention was for me to get Mike's poetry and set it to music, and it kind of spun into the concepts that we talked about earlier, and we kind of went, hey, this is happening. So with Subversion, it was a little bit more collaborative, but this is Realpolitik, I think is the first album where it's pretty much 50-50.
Oh, absolutely it is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because Mike basically lived in my studio for a while we were recording it, you know.
Okay, no, we got to be fair here, Jay, and I got to be fair about this because I got to clear up a misconception, and we're going to do it right here on a Vaughn show, and it's going to be cool. There is this misconception that I am Cypher and Jay is the guy that plays the background music. This isn't 50-50. This is 20-80 with the 80 going to Jay. I mean, he creates all the music. He lays out the canvas that I can paint on. And without him, I'd just be a guy yelling. So really bluntly put, Cypher's as much Jay. It's the project itself is 50-50, but the recording of this particular album, I would literally lay on his couch in his studio playing Clash Royale on my phone, and he'd just be jerking around with some sort of music, and I'd go, stop that right there. Whatever you just did, do it again. And
well, the thing is, too, is that Mike hears the sounds clearly in his head. So, you know, he's teaching me the promotional side of things. So I've been teaching him more of the recording, the technical elements of that, too. So, but if he gets, you know, if one of us gets stuck on something, it's kind of like, okay, well, this is what I'm looking for. So you kind of step into a producer's role in a sense and go, okay, I, you know, because music is full of ambiguous, abstract words. But Michael very clearly say, well, this is kind of what I want to sound like, and, you know, I'll translate that. But, I mean, on Realpolitik, Mike was sitting down in front of the computer as much as I was playing with sound. And it's funny because in the one single Punch a Nazi, there's a sound that neither of us know how it happened.
I just can't
recreate it for the life of me.
Well,
that was more Mike's design.
The thing with the two of you is that you complement each other. You both bring out the best in each other and yourselves when you work together, and it comes across in your craft.
It's really weird because we both have solo projects, and they're very, very different. Jay's currently working on a new one. He's got like 10 old ones, which are all amazing. And if you haven't bought them, listeners, shame on you. Go buy his stuff. Sorry, shameless plug.
No, absolutely, not a shameless plug.
Whereas I actually have a solo project that I'm working on right now, where literally it is just me yelling. It's more of a spoken word project. And we've taken these different directions in a solo way. But what happens is I no longer have that restraint on me.
Uh-huh.
And Jade would never tell me, hey, you can't say that, man. There have been a few times, Jay Scott, are you sure you want to say that? But he'd never tell me I can't.
Well, because he understands that the creative part of you is that. You cannot censor creativity.
But he, what's really neat with it is, there, when I sent him the first take of the solo record I'm working on, we were listening to it in my car, and he was pointing out things in it, not, oh, you shouldn't say that, but he was very, very subtly pointing out things in it that I could have done a little better. And it wasn't criticism, and we don't take criticism. If something sucks, we tell each other, no, don't do that, it sucks. see Dixie Chicks cover. But, you know, it's one of the things that without Jay, it would just be this angry rambling. But between Jay and Ryan, they've managed to not rein me in, but focus it and laser focus it. So I'm excited about that. But when I listen to Jay's solo stuff from 10 years ago or even 2 years ago, I hear one sound and now I listen to it. And, man, what was the word I used? It was just the most haunting thing I'd ever heard.
Ooh.
And I said to him, I said, I want to hear more of that. Give me more of that.
What,
and
the
it
black
wasn't,
chairs when I played in the car the other day?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't
that's
just
the new one.
The new stuff.
Yeah.
That nobody else has heard, and you should all be jealous. Ha ha. But
okay, this is what we got to do, guys. When I bring you guys back on the show, and of course you're coming back,
of course.
Send me your solo, both of you, send me your solo stuff as well as some group stuff, and we'll do an hour and a half show and
cool.
And let people in on the best-kept secret in the whole wide world that not only do y'all collaborate together, but you collaborate solo, and you're both very successful at it.
He is. I'm still trying. But, no, going back to the song, and we'll definitely do that, going back to the song Media Whore, because I think for me, it's probably the most important song on the record to talk about.
Uh-huh.
And where it comes from is it comes from a term that a certain guy that I don't like a whole lot anymore, who I used to love. But, you know, when people show their true colors sometimes, it can get scary. But the term fake news, and I hear it all the time, that's fake news, you're fake news, this is fake news, that's fake news. There's a wonderful quote in it that we used as a sample, which is the media is incredibly subordinated to outside power. That's what power means. If you go back to 1930s, 1940s, there was another guy that controlled the media.
Uh-huh.
It didn't end so well for him. But it didn't end so well for a lot of people, but it didn't end so well for him either. But that concept, the concept of saying this is fake news, that's fake news, and then getting people to believe it. And all you need to do to believe it is look at idiot books sometime and read the crap that's on there. And read not just what the alt-right are saying, but what the extreme left are saying.
Uh-huh.
What the people down the middle are saying, read it all. And when you're done reading it, have a stiff drink because you'll probably need one. Or smoke
up.
Something green. You know, whatever you can do. But it's weird. You post a picture, like I saw a thing the other day, and you might have seen it, Yvonne, when I posted it. Whether you agreed with it or not, I don't know. But it was a picture of Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, and it was talking about the Supreme Court and a Supreme Court ruling that said that you cannot force someone to show patriotism. And I had posted this because I thought it was very important that people understood that this Supreme Court ruling does exist. And I was immediately assaulted with that Supreme Court ruling's about kids in school.
No,
and then
it's
someone
not.
Made, well, see,
it's
someone
about
made the odd.
You can't force somebody to be patriotic.
Right. Someone made the audacious mistake of saying, well, go read the ruling. Telling me to go read something political is like telling a kid to go have a candy bar.
Exactly. Because you're going to go right to
it's like
it.
Saying, it's like giving Jay a cupcake, okay? I mean, it's just going horrible. Yeah, it's okay. I had to get one fat joke in. But so I went and read the ruling, and there's a wonderful passage in the ruling that says no entity, big or small, shall force someone to be patriotic, religious, or any other form of mass worship. And it, because the media has reported this so skewed that it's become horrid. I mean, the NFL players taking a knee for the national anthem is the best example of the song media horror that's out there, because that movement, nobody even remembers why he originally did it. All they remember now is Donald Trump said, fire the football players.
Well, Kaepernick, I saw an interview with Kaepernick where he basically said he talked to a war vet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the war vet had said, I went in there, you know, basically saying these guys are totally disrespecting everything. And they had a conversation about it. And he said, because this was when he was sitting down. He
right.
was just not getting up off the bench. And the vet explained to him that taking a knee in the army is more of a respectful way. They do it for the fallen comrades. They do, you know, you take a knee for prayer and that kind of stuff. He said, but if you take a knee, nobody, you know, it should not be viewed as disrespectful because we do it. And, you know, the rhetoric again, you know, you're disrespecting the vets and stuff like that. And so many U.S. Army vets have come out and said, I agree with these people. We fought for their right to do this. You know,
right.
But
when you look at it from a media whore, like the perspective of the song Media Whore, mm-hmm. they've taken a message that was, whether you agree with it or not, the message was, we live in a country that refuses to fight for a certain group of people. I refuse to stand for that until they will. And now it's about Donald Trump said, fire football players. So that's an example. That's what I'm talking about in the song Media Whore is
that
taken, twist.
If what they did is they took one statement that was made by the president and have blown it up so bad that they now control the narrative. Is that what
exactly.
I'm understanding you to say?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now,
they're hijacking the narrative, right?
Now, guys, sadly, we only have an hour show. So when do y'all want to come back?
Whenever you want us back.
Anytime. Okay. It's like coming home, Yvonne.
Okay.
It's one of our favorite places to come to. So.
Oh, honey, y'all just make a girl blush.
We try. We try.
So,
we're
ladies,
very trying. That's what our girlfriends do.
But I love them. I love these two guys with all of my heart. I've loved them since the first time I ever interviewed them. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Central Time, author P.J. LaRue, and then Saturday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, my friend and fellow author Julie Morgan will be here. And within the context of what we've been saying tonight, I'm not going to give all three of my little things that I always say. I am going to only say the difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do. And guys, you know that I am always so honored and so humbled when y'all come on this show and you say, Yvonne, we've got a new release. We want you to launch it on your show. This is what this show is about. It's about all of y'all. It's your show. It's not my show. And I am so grateful.
Well, you got it. What you got to do for us, Yvonne, though, sometime before May, you got to get us off the chain T-shirts, though. We're going on.
Off the chain T-shirts. Hey,
we need off the chain. We need off the chain T-shirts. We're going on an internationally syndicated TV show. We're going to be playing a whole tour with it, and we want to wear off the chain T-shirts on stage for that one, so everybody sees your show.
Are you, honey? I'll make that happen.
You should.
I know where to.
Because we'll
I know where to. I know. You tell me your size. Send me all the information. I can make that happen.
Jay, you know what to do.
So, like, I'm serious.
I'll connect on Facebook.
I can make it happen.
Awesome.
And these guys will come. And yes, they are going to be doing an international television show. I am so proud of these guys. Just,
thank you.
Thanks.
Y'all just, you have no idea how proud I am of you. And I
oh,
see,
you're going to make me cry.
But this is y'all. This is what you do, and you do it so marvelous. And we need y'all to keep us honest.
Well, what y'all need is to put me out of work by, there's a wonderful line in one of our songs that I believe in a world where there's no need for us anymore. So let's hope we can reach that, because once we don't have to write this and we can write a pop record, we'll be very happy.
Yeah, but then you'll find something else to write, because you're not just going to disappear. I'm not going to allow it to happen. I'll poke the bear, as they say. Hey, that's a song, Poke the Bear.
Send in the wasps. It'll all go on the same nature-based album.
So, ladies and gentlemen, go and get Cypher's new album. They can be found everywhere on Apple Music, iTunes, YouTube, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Play, you name it, they're there. Pull up the band Cypher. Friend these guys on Facebook, Michael Lee, Jason Norwood, Cypher, friend their page, and go and get their music. And until tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, we say good evening.
Bye, guys.
So now
we're
not live now, but you know what I'm going to do, guys. I'm going to put this up on the page after it goes up into archives.
Cool.
I'm going to tag y'all in it. And
mm-hmm.
then
cool.
tomorrow I'm going to put it up on SoundCloud, Mixcloud, Spreaker.
You always do. You put it everywhere, and then after we're
yep.
on, we get 150, 250
yeah.
people come and talk to us. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Podcastgardenandpodcast.com. It's also up on YouTube, iTunes, FM.com, and TuneIn Radio.
Cool. On everywhere. We
it's
love it.
Everywhere.
We,
yeah.
It's such an honor to come on your show. You always say you're humbled, and we're humbled because you keep having us back.
It's always a blast.
And we always
it's
run out
this
of time.
Though.
It does.
It's so weird this time not being in the same room with Jay, because usually we're in the same room laughing at each other, and it was just weird doing it from a distance.
Yeah.
Well, I am tickled that and I figured out how y'all did. You did a conference call with each other, and then Jay tuned in to me, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I called you. Basically, I called you, or I called the station and then called Jay and conferenced him in, yeah.
Yeah, whichever one of you couldn't get in because
yeah.
you, yeah. And which, because
yeah,
I was going, how in the hell am I going to get both of these guys on here? Because it's so important that y'all are a unit and we have so much fun together.
I've never, ever, ever seen him as distraught as he was this morning when I said to him, I can't get home from work. Because I'm 2 hours away from home and I've got a ton of work to do tomorrow. And I said, I can't get home tonight, so you're going to have to get on the show. And he says, but I can't because I can't afford the call.
If it takes a minute, no.
I said, no, that's okay. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. And then about 20 minutes before we called in, I found a button on my phone that said I'd call. And I went, what does this do? So that's how we figured it out. But, I mean, it's... We did a show last night. Now that we're not on the air, I can say it. We did a show last night. I could tell it was a very awkward kind of show for Jay because it's a show about medical marijuana, which, of course, is what I do to stay healthy. And it was kind of an awkward show to do. It didn't have that natural flow like this one does. And I was so glad that we got to do this show tonight because, I mean, you're out, even when we play live, we don't get the chance. And one of the things I love is that we get to talk a little bit about individual songs. We don't ever get to do that.
True.
Now, I should have put money down on which songs you would have picked because I had 2 out of 3 right.
you
I had
know
2 out of 3
well.
Right. Well, I knew you were going to pick Hall of Mirrors because it's right up your alley.
That's true.
And I figured Media Horror because, again, it's something that has a distinct message. The one I actually thought was Internal State of War. That was my third one.
That was a toss-up. I thought about that one, and I thought, no, I want to save that one because I want to be able to talk about that one in depth, really in depth. So we're going to save that one for the next time.
That one's a neat one. And you'll really enjoy that because that song is actually the only song, well, okay, other than the song on the album about a baseball umpire, that's the only song on the record that's not about American politics, but everybody thinks it is. It's actually about South Korea or North Korea.
Yeah.
And what goes on with children there.
Yep.
So that's where, I mean, it was so weird. And, you know, I love the fact that someone or yourself and your listeners and we've had a lot of people. We played a show in the nation's capital here in Ottawa. And after the show, we spent we couldn't even get to the merch table for like 2 hours.
Wow.
Because people were coming up to us going, what did you mean when you said, what did you mean by this song? And we were like, holy crap, you listened to what we were saying. and so it was cool. It was a lot of fun. And you know, the one thing that we enjoy more than anything, we're on break soon. We love our little bit of time off, so we're taking some time off later on this year. But no, next time, let us know when you have some time available. We'll definitely come on the show. We're always willing to do that.
Yeah.
I still want to do some music live on the show, so we got to figure out how to do that.
Okay. Y'all figure it out and just let me know, and we'll do a whole show with live music.
That'd be cool.
And then y'all get to pick the songs, and then I'll get to give my take, like we normally do. I give my take on it, and then y'all give y'all's take on it.
Yeah, we can do that.
Because
this is what
makes y'all's show unique. When you come on this show, you get to discuss the songs, and somebody else may have a completely different take, but at least then they're more open-minded to listen to it.
I wish we could get, and I know you have a call-in, the ability for call-in.
Yes.
But we all talk so much, we don't get people calling in, right? I want to try to get people to call in and discuss it because I'd like to hear what someone who, you know, maybe isn't, like, there's this misconception going around right now that I'm this huge left-wing nut job, and I'm one of the most conservative people you'll meet.
Yes, you are.
I just have a very specific dislike. But I'd like to hear the take that people from the different sides of this argument have. You know, that'd be cool.
All right.
To hear
some
guy
the next
that
time
we don't
y'all
know,
come
so.
On, the next time we set up the show, we'll do an hour and a half show, and we'll put cool. as part of the marketing that we want the listeners to call in. And you guys
right
push
on.
that narrative too. Look, we're doing this special show because we're going to play some music and we want to get your take on what you think it means to you.
That'd be cool because, I mean, there's some people that have come at us pretty hard on Twitter and other places, and I'd like to hear those people. I'd like them to call in and have a chance to voice their objection to our music or to voice their support. Because I think it's just as important for the guys that get offended when I yell punch a Nazi to say, hey, this is why you shouldn't say that. And then I can say, yeah, but you didn't listen to the friggin' song, did you? You know?
You just want to punch a Nazi.
That's not what it's about.
That's not what the song's about.
No, I know it
Thanks.
Isn't. And they don't, but again, it's when people, they hear the tagline, but they don't listen to the entire song, and they listen with a closed mind. It's like reading a book with a closed mind, or looking at a piece
well,
of art with a closed mind.
It was super intentional, because if you listen to the do-do-do-do, it's the same notes, the same sound, and everything. They play at every Major League Baseball game.
Right.
And we did that intentionally because that gets stuck in your head because you've heard it every day of your life since you were, you know, 6 years old. And it's like, oh, now we've taken this wonderful memory of your childhood and made it about punching Nazis. Have a good time. You know?
You're so
evil. Well, I have to sign off for here because
so do I.
It's going to be about bedtime for the boys.
Yeah.
I gotta
and
cry.
I've got to get this thing up in archive so I can send it to y'all. And once
cool.
again, guys, thank you so much.
Thanks for
no
having
problem.
Us, Yvonne. Well,
thank
until
you.
Next time.
Yes.
And I will get
bye-bye.
I will get y'all some dates, and y'all let me know if they're good for you.
We'll all figure right. it out. All right.
All
thanks,
right, darling.
Yvonne.
Good night,
right,
guys.
Take care.
All righty. Good night.